Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 15 of season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Brian Lockhart of Hamilton Shot by Shot. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me one last time for this week. Appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. I've enjoyed talking to you all week. Hopefully you have too. Hopefully everyone listening has also enjoyed our conversations.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because especially since this is one of the pivotal weeks of this particular movie. But there'll be more iconic ones coming up later on. But these are the pivotal ones.
I feel very honored to be a part of like you said, the thesis statement of this movie is this week, and it's much better than credits from maybe previous seasons. So
That was 2 seasons ago, and I gotta tell you, as much as people complain about getting credits episodes, I actually enjoy recording credit episodes because we find some really interesting things to talk about.
yes, I
Okay,
agree.
when I mean, just if you would have listened to the credits last week for Die Hard, when we or no, not last week, 3 weeks ago when we finished Die Hard, all right, you'll hear we found we found that they give thanks to a knife manufacturer, and there are no knives in the movie. Can you think of any knife in Die Hard?
No.
Exactly. Okay. In Die Hard 2, there is, yes, but in Die Hard 3, but in Die Hard with a Vengeance, but in the original Die Hard, I cannot think of any scene that has a knife. So why would they have a thanks to the knife? And again, if I wouldn't have talked about the credits, I wouldn't have found that out. So, you do find interesting things out about movies that way.
Oh, yeah, for
So
sure.
you can't knock it. And you know, as much as you're knocking it, you and I had a fun time talking about the credits on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So you can't really,
It's a
you
lot more
can't
freeing
deny that.
too. Yeah, it's a lot more freeing because you can go off the beaten path a little bit if you
Yes,
want.
correct. Exactly. Well, I go off the beaten path every week, at least twice,
I know, I
so,
noticed that. Yeah.
But with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, yeah. So far, I have fun doing credits because you don't have to talk about every single thing that happens, but you pick and choose some fun things to talk about. And if you listen to my second to last episode from Die Hard, okay, that's actually the episode where we talked about the knives. That was an hour and a half episode, just about the credits. So, a minute of credits, we talked for an hour and a half, approximately. So.
And that's hard to explain that concept to people who aren't familiar with movies by minute. So, like, wait, you spent an hour and a half talking about 1 minute of the movie?
Yes. So you see, but you're right, it frees you up a lot more. There's a lot more to talk about and stuff like that. But we are actually not here to talk about the credits on Die Hard. We are here to talk about a very interesting interlude in When Harry Met Sally. So episode 15 begins with Harry responding to Sally and ends with a shot of what looks like LaGuardia Airport. So yesterday we ended things with Harry getting out of the car and Sally saying goodbye to him. They have a very awkward goodbye. And then Harry continues to walk, right? And then Sally says to him at the end of yesterday's episode, "Well, have a nice life." And today's episode begins with Harry responding and saying, "You too." So the two of them really, even after having an 18-hour drive, don't have very much to say to one another. But, it's going to take another, let's say, 10, 12 years before the two of them finally are able to have meaningful conversations that will mean so much to the both of them. But we'll have to wait around for that.
You have to wait around 5 to 10 years to do that?
No, we're going to have to wait a few weeks. But
Oh, okay. I thought
yeah,
this was gonna be the long
just a
game.
few weeks
Yeah.
till we talk about it. But Harry and
Okay,
Sally have to wait 12 years for that. That's the difference.
all right. Now, all right.
They have
Now
to
I
wait. I
understand.
don't. You don't. Everyone listening doesn't either. This show is only going to be, I think, 19 weeks. So you don't have to worry about it being for a few months or a few years or a few decades or whatever like that. Hopefully, the show itself will last for that long. But this season, no. So
Show is timeless.
that's right. So the music comes up again. We once again get the song. Let's call the whole thing off. We hear the potato and potato and tomato and tomato. And then we have an amazing crane shot that shows us all of Washington Square when we see Harry walking towards Greenwich Village or something like that. Sally gets into her car and just they depart one another after this apparently very meaningful 18-hour journey that the two of them have taken together that will probably be etched in their lives forever. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see and how that works out. And then we get an interlude in the movie, which is something this is actually the first interlude because it's the second documentary interview, I guess you can call it, but it's the first interlude because the first one took place before the movie started. All right, before we met Harry and Sally. So once again, we have an elderly couple that are sitting on this love seat couch. We have the flowered wallpaper behind them once again. It's a different couple than it was the first time. And first of all, you know the whole story behind these couples, right? In general, the
No,
idea of them.
no. I
Okay,
was
so.
hoping you would explain it to
Okay,
me,
so the
but
idea is that Rob Reiner, we talked about this a little bit during the first interviews, where Rob Reiner was at a friend's house, and who happens to be he's the former CEO of Disney, and the two of them were talking, and they saw his friend's father, and Rob Reiner just asked him, what is your how did you and your wife meet? And he told the story. And Rob Reiner thought of the idea. He says, "Well, wouldn't it be great to have a movie where you have real couples telling their real stories of how they met?" And that's where the idea came. So he started collecting all these different stories from people that he knew about their parents, or mostly about their parents, how they had met one another. And then they sat down and tried filming these with the real people, and they realized that the real people just couldn't do it. They needed to get actors. So every one of these documentary interviews, these are actors. These are not the real couples. This couple is actually played by the actors Charles Dugan and Catherine Squire. Okay. Charles Dugan was born in 1912 and passed away in 2008 at the age of 95. Catherine Squire was born in 1903 and she passed away in 1995 at the age of 92. So, at the time of filming this, he was 77 and she was about 85. About. I mean, we
Oh.
don't know exactly what day they recorded it, but assuming it was 1988, so that's what that was their age, that was their ages at the time, 77 and 85. He has on IMDb 5 movie credits and 6 TV credits, but his big claim to fame is the fact that he is the father of Dennis Dugan. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, so he is a director, actor, comedian, screenwriter. Okay, he is apparently very close with Adam Sandler. He was the director on some of Adam Sandler's biggest films. Okay, he was the director of Happy Gilmore and Jack and Jill, Grown Ups. And basically the whole group of of all the within the Adam Sandler world, you have all those various movies. He started off as a TV director. He directed here we go. He directed 5 episodes of Moonlighting, back to call back to Die Hard. He was the director of the movie Problem Child from
Oh,
1990.
okay. Yeah.
Okay, and then after that, once he started directing movies, his first movie after that was Happy Gilmore, Beverly Hills Ninja, Big Daddy, Saving Silverman. What else is on here? The Benchwarmers. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. You don't mess with the Zohan. Grown Ups. Just Go With It. Jack and Jill. Grown Ups 2. And then his most recent movie is Love, Weddings, and Disaster and Other Disasters. So, I mean, he's a pretty prolific director. He has 39 credits on IMDb. So apparently, his father's claim to fame is that he is the father of Dennis Dugan, even though he himself is an actor. who appears here in Harry Met Sally. Catherine Squire has actually 56 TV credits and 9 movie credits, but one of her credits is on a TV show called Doctors from the 1970s, where she was in 357 episodes.
Oh, okay. So she was one of the doctors or
yeah,
nurses.
Well, her character was named Emma Simpson. I don't know. I've never seen the show The Doctors, so I couldn't tell you what her character is, whether she's a nurse or whether she's a doctor or, you know, an administrator or something. She could be anything in the hospital itself. But, you know, the fact that she was on 357 episodes is just amazing, you know, because I assume, I mean, I guess this is maybe a soap opera. It was a 30-minute TV series. Don't know. No clue.
It could be. Yeah, it could be a soap.
Wow. The show had 3,836 episodes. I'm assuming this is a soap opera.
Yeah, it's with that.
Yeah. You know, and the fact that they had 3,800 episodes and she was only in 357 of them, meaning she didn't have that big of a part.
Right.
Wow. The show went from 1963 to 1982. It was a 19-year show. Yeah, if they had that many episodes, it must have been somewhat of a serialized soap opera or something like that.
Yeah.
So the two of them begin to tell their story. Okay, so it starts off with the woman starts talking first this time, and she says, "We fell in love in high school." And he goes, "Yeah, we were high school sweethearts. But then, after our junior year, his parents moved away. But I never forgot her. He never forgot me. Nope, her face was burned on my brain. And it was 34 years later that I was walking down Broadway, and I saw her come out of Toffanetti's. And we both looked at each other. And it was just as though not a single day had gone by. She was just as beautiful as she was at 16. He was just the same. He looked exactly the same." So, I mean, it's a great contrast to the previous interview, you know, where that one, the wife didn't say anything. She just sat there and let the husband speak. This time, the two of them are taking turns speaking. Okay, I love the way the two of them are dressed. You know, we talked during the first interview that it reminded me somewhat, the dress of those characters reminded me of my grandparents, but these do also. I mean, he's wearing a cardigan with a, you know, with a tie with a brown tie that goes up to his neck, you know, and the type of dress that she's wearing with a little, what's it called? It's like a brooch that she has there. You know, I think it's just, you know, and he actually reminds me of an older Jimmy Stewart. You know,
yes,
I've seen some movies with Jimmy Stewart in them, and you know, he also sounds a little bit like him.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. And the funniest thing is while she's talking, at one point he gives like a huge, he like inhales really, really deeply, as if to say, "Oh, this story again." I don't know, but I mean,
it's like she's interrupting him. Like he's
exactly.
Like, I'm telling this story.
Exactly. And I mean, what's great is that, you know, we can do the math, and we know that they basically met when they were 50. That's basically the story behind this couple, whoever the real couple is based on. Now it wasn't easy. I wasn't able to figure out who these are based on. And even in the commentary tracks, you know, I have the version of When Harry Met Sally that I have has two commentary tracks on it. One of them just with Rob Reiner, and another one with Rob Reiner, Nora Ephron, and Billy Crystal. And I mean, they're talking about a whole bunch of different things, but they don't mention here about the, you know, where exactly where the story came from, you know. But it's a nice story. It shows that you know, I guess it's I think one of the things they're trying to show with these stories is that everyone meets their significant other in a different way, but most people still feel that they were destined to meet one another, even in these strange ways and stuff like that.
That's a good point based on some of the other stories.
Exactly.
There's one I'm in particular I'm thinking of, but I also this.
You're probably talking about the one with the doctors, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
They were living next to each, next, they were yeah, living a block yeah, away yeah. from each other. Right. Exactly.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Yeah. The thing with this story, the way it kind of ties back in, is the fact of a story of somebody who met each other when they were younger, and then years later, they met again.
Correct.
So, like, that has to do with obviously what we're about to see.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but that we're only, it's only going to be 10 years later. This is 34 years. I mean, they met up the second time when they were 50, you know, when they finally got together. But the fact that we know that both of these actors, at least at this point, are in their 70s, it could mean that they're together for 20, 25 years already, you know, when they're telling the story. You know, they don't specifically, I mean, they never tell us how old these characters are supposed to be. Not that it matters, but the idea is that, okay, you know, they've been able to, you know, they missed one another for 34 years, but they're now making up for that, you know, by, you know, having these years that they're back together. And I also
Well, do you think, I mean, honestly, that man looked the same at 50 as he did at 16?
No, I do not.
All right, do you think she's lying a little bit there?
No, but again, no, there's also the whole idea of, you know, like, okay, I'm 49. There are people who I haven't seen in 30 years that can see me, that I can bump into, and they will immediately recognize me and say that I look very similar to what I looked back then. You know, that type of thing. So I think that's what she's trying to say here.
Right. I got you.
You know, I think that's what it comes down to. So I don't know. But one of the other things I like is that in the first interview, so the wife taps, you know, like pats his arm a little bit throughout it. In this one, there's a point where she grabs his arm and pats him, you know, in a very animated way. You know, the last time it was less animated, the way that the wife grabbed the arm. And here it's more animated and works really well.
Yeah, it shows the affection, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he mentions that he saw her coming out of Toffanetti restaurants. Okay. Do you have any idea what that is?
I just assume it's some New York Italian restaurant.
Okay, it's apparently a very famous New York restaurant. Okay, it's Toffanetti restaurant that was open for 30 years from 1939 to 1968. All right, and it was opened up by a man named Dario Toffanetti, who was an Italian immigrant who first moved to the U.S. in 1910. And he had a whole bunch of different jobs. He first was an ice cream vendor, then a baked potato salesman, and then a busboy, before he finally had earned himself enough money to start his own restaurant. In 1914, he opened a restaurant called the Triangle Restaurant in Chicago with only $3,500. The menu had, you know, baked potatoes, sugar cured ham, strawberry shortcake, and he just really flourished from there. He was chosen to be one of the caterers at the 1933 World's Fair in Chicago, where he got even more attention and success for the things that he was doing. And by 1937, he had six restaurants, you know, throughout Chicago that were known as the Triangle Restaurants. Okay, he eventually even became the president of the Chicago Restaurant Association. And he held that title from 1936 to 1943. Okay, and then he decided that, you know, he wanted to expand his business to New York. So after the World's Fair in New York in 1939, 1940, where he also did the catering, he decided to buy a little shop or a little area on the corner of 43rd and Broadway, which is in Times Square. And then he got a very famous architectural firm known as Walker and Gillette to create the restaurant itself. And they had a two-story building that was actually connected by an escalator, and it had an open stainless steel kitchen and a glass facade so that you can, like, see in from the outside. Okay, you could have they had room for they had room for 1,000 guests at any time, and they usually had about 8,500 customers every day.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it really is. The tagline or the The slogan they used for the restaurant was the busiest restaurant on the world's busiest corner. And it became one of the most popular restaurants around. And most people, you know, if they were looking for a place to eat in Times Square, you know, for about 30 years, that's where they would go. Toffanetti himself passed away in 1962. And after he passed away, his family still continued running the restaurant for another 6 years until they were able to sell the building for $3 million in 1968 to the Globe Theater. They have demolished it by 1990 it was demolished, so it really wasn't something that you could find afterwards. But you know, I just found it really interesting that you know, he just throws out the name of this restaurant. I mean, in the first interview, with the couple also mentions a restaurant that they met in, and you know, that also was a real thing. I didn't think it was called the Horn and Something restaurant. I don't remember the first word of it. Horn and Hackett or something like that. Don't know. But
well, these are based on real people. It makes sense that they would sprinkle in real, you know, real locations.
Yeah, that's true. Makes sense. That makes sense. So, have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
No, just the only thing is, I mean, just been watching the minute while we've been recording again, and I love that crane shot of them walking away, because you just see how they're going their own separate ways. It's just, yes, it was pretty cool. But that's all,
right? No, and I mean, one of the things that makes it very interesting about that crane shot is okay, so Harry knows that he apparently has an apartment somewhere, or he's going somewhere, and she knows where she's going and things like that, and you know, they're both off to start their new lives from these little locations. And you know, we get the bird's eye view of the two of them. You know, he goes off to the left and she goes off to the right.
Yep.
So, yeah. So the script basically has a few discrepancies in the story that this couple are telling, but most of them are just words that are added here and there that they apparently dropped. So I'm just going to read through the whole thing, and then I'll mention which of the things that have actually, no, I'm not going to try and make you guess. That wouldn't be fun. That wouldn't be fair. So it says, that's right. This is documentary footage. Another older couple sitting together on the same love seat we saw earlier. Woman, we fell madly in love in high school. And the man says, we were high school sweethearts. And the woman said, I just said that. Didn't I just say that? But after our junior year, his parents moved away. But I never forgot her. He never forgot me. Her face burned itself on my brain. 34 years later, I see her coming out of Toffanetti's. We looked at each other, and it was as if not one day went by. She looked as beautiful as she was when she was 16 years old. He looked the same. He looked exactly the same to me. And then it continues when the man says, and we haven't been apart one day since. The woman says, not one day. So again, it's not needed, but it does strengthen the bond of this couple by adding in, you know, the fact that, you know, that they haven't been apart ever since, you know, they were apart for 34 years and now they just can't get enough of each other, that type of thing.
Right. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, there were a few little changes here. You know, the woman said we fell madly in love, which wasn't a word that was used before. Then the woman said, I just said that. Didn't I just say that? Which that would just make her sound senile. So it's good thing they took that out.
Yeah, I like that they took it out, or combative, almost like I just said that, like
yeah. But you know what? That could be what happened when they took the real couple, and the real couple were bickering back and forth.
Yeah.
So that could be you know, and you know, in the movie, she basically says he was just the same, and here is he looked the same. He looked exactly the same to me. So it's slightly different, but the delivery in the movie, it still works. I like the way they do that. And that's all we have for the script. So every Friday we have a segment called Weekend Romance, where my guests will give their top five rom-com films. So what have you got for us, Brian? Start from the bottom and work your way up.
Well, you know, I was having a hard time figuring out which ones I wanted to use because, you know, that's not my genre, but when I was going through a list of, you know, rom-coms, there was a lot of movies that I would like. Coming to America was on there. I'm like, yeah, technically that would be a romantic comedy. I just always thought of that as a comedy. But one that popped up that it's not my favorite movie, but I'd be remiss to add it. And Jeff and Chris from Jane Silent Bob Minute would be really upset if I left it off. So number five is Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy, great choice.
Number four is 10 Things I Hate About You. Number three, 16 Candles. Number two, Wedding Crashers. And my number one favorite is The Princess Bride. To bring it back to Billy Crystal.
Have fun storming the castle. Yeah, those are great. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. I've had a fun week. Hopefully you have too, Brian.
Of course.
Do you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch, where they can find Brian Lockhart? You know, I think you're somewhere on the internet, somewhere on podcasts, you know, something like that. Where can we find you?
I'm all over the place. I have my original project, which was the Marine Corps Movie Minute podcast. I did Heartbreak Ridge 1 minute at a time, the Clint Eastwood classic. That can be a Marine Corps Movie Minute podcast all over the internet. I have a current show is the Marvel Events Timeline podcast, where I'm going through with Travis Bowe, basically the history of Marvel Comics themselves. We're starting at the very beginning in the Timely Comics era and working our way towards now.
And where are you guys up to as of now?
Where we last left off was just at the end of World War II. So we're still very early in the timeline of Marvel. We're getting into the Atlas era, the post-war, pre-60s golden age, you know, or silver age, I guess I should say.
golden, silver,
We're leaving the golden age. We're heading into that no man's land before the silver age kicks off. And that's just Marvel Events podcast or Marvel Events pod on, like, say, Instagram. You can find us out there. And then my current project I'm doing with my daughter is Hamilton Shot by Shot. That is a journey through the musical Hamilton one song at a time. And if you want to find us there, we're at Hamilton Shot by Shot on Facebook and Instagram.
All right. Excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So, Brian, thank you very much for spending this week with us. It's been a lot of fun, even though it isn't your genre. But I'm assuming season five will go back to, you know, more your genre with lots of, you know, shooting and blood and guts and yippee-ki-yays. So who knows?
All good stuff. You know, and until I see you again, your face will be burned on my brain.
Well, you know, you do look exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Well, that's what helps was when you look 40 when you're 20. So, you know, when you become 40, you just still look the same.
That's true. That's very true. All right. So have a great weekend, everybody. And until Monday, I'll have what she was having.
I'll have what she's having. Nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.